Welcome to another enlightening episode of the Dream Hub podcast, where we explore the mysterious and captivating world of dreams. Today, I'm journeying into the depths of dream analysis and personal awakening with a very special guest, Chelsea Turpening-Coxey. Chelsea is not just any dream coach. She's a guiding light for those looking to unlock the secrets within their dreams and lead a more fulfilled life. She's also the author of the insightful book series, Living Life Metaphorically, A Journey to Waking Up. Today, she'll share her unique journey led by dreams that took her all the way to Australia here with me, and how you too can find profound guidance in your nightly voyages. So let's dive into the subconscious and uncover the messages waiting for us in the world of dreams. Hi, Chelsea. Welcome. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me. I'm very enthusiastic about this conversation today.
Me too. I think we connected over social media and I was just like, are you another me? Like, I think we have the same soul contract we signed up for.
Yeah, very similar. I've seemed to be aligning to a lot of people like that in my life. So it's always just, it's beautiful. It's like looking into a mirror half the time.
Yeah, I love that. So you have a really fascinating journey that intertwines deeply with the world of dreams. So let's start from the beginning. Could you start by telling us a little bit about your background growing up with your dreams? I'm curious about the roots of your unique path.
Yeah. So I don't get to talk about the childhood dreams as much, but I've always had like a very strong animus and anima connection. And I've noticed even as a kid, when I'm looking back now on it, I still see a lot of that flavor. So I was having dreams where like I was like a lot of repeated dreams over and over again, where I was like in this tree house and I was playing with Peter Pan always. And it was always Peter Pan. And so I felt like, you know, now I'm looking back at it, it reminds me of my masculine side. And so I was kind of having this going on a lot. And then I was having dreams with like my guides. But it was kind of like very symbolic. So it wasn't like they were like revealing themselves as what they were. But it had inspired me a lot as a child. I always felt like I could see beyond the veil a little bit, but I grew up very religious. So it wasn't something that's very common to talk about, like from a Christian perspective. So I was always to one to like kind of write little notes to my guides in the daytime and like fantasize or use my imagination a lot. So I felt like dreams and imagination were a really big part of kind of developing some of this at a younger age. But it really, though, in my 20s, my dreams started getting a different flavor. I was having more like out-of-body experiences and they were really confusing. And I was going through depression and a lot of like strong emotions at a young age. So like my dreams kind of would have my attention in various ways. But it wasn't until like my late 20s and going into my 30s that I really started diving into like dream analysis. And I first was practicing it on myself before I learned to create the space for other people. And that journey in itself is what inspired my first book, Journey to Waking Up, The Living Life Metaphorically, metaphorically being my dreams and my diving into the subconsciousness through creative expression, kind of tapping into my soul in small pieces and doses almost before I really learned to embody it fully within myself. So my dreams, I was still having dreams with my animus and it was like this balancing act of duality or the yin and yang, right? I was having out of body experiences where I was like in the lower realms and I felt like I was really battling a lot of like negative energies, not just within myself, but it was mirroring into these metaphysical experiences too. So I learned a lot through those phases, but it also challenged my belief system and it made me more consciously aware of not just myself on a self-development way, right, of self-awareness, but also kind of challenging the belief systems, what is reality, different perspectives of it, and really diving in. And so it was actually my guides. I had experienced my guides several times in my dreams. I've had my conversations with my higher self. And I felt realized at the time I was also experiencing my higher self as a child, if it like in the daytime and in sleep. So I was, you know, like one time I was swinging on the swing set and I literally just kind of like pictured, saw her or like imagined her in the clouds kind of staring down at me in encouragement at a young age. So like having these experiences kind of redevelop later in my adult life kind of helped bring it full circle. So it's like all over the place. So I was like, okay, I'm learning, trying to understand, like, am I hallucinating? Am I going crazy? You know, and I was battling the depression. I was really getting into mental health. Joe Dispenza, his techniques really helped me develop through a lot of that stuff. But it was when I got into Carl Jung that really confirmed a lot of my experiences that I was having in dreamland. And it actually, my guides, one of my guides had suggested the book Man and His Symbols by Carl Jung, which was his last book he had worked on before he had passed away. I had never even heard of the book or it had really gotten into Carl Jung at that point. So it was suggested in my sleep to get into Carl Jung.
I love it.
Yeah, it's interesting how that works. So like, you know, like it felt like they're there in emotional support. They're there on a soul discovery to support and self-awareness, but they're also kind of helping us problem solve, not just emotionally with our internal house is what I call it, but these experiences with exterior entities or guides or past loved ones, like they are always there in support, like ancestors and stuff. So I've was also having experiences where my grandmother had passed away and I, the night she died, now this is before I really got into the dream analysis. I walked her through the white light and like she hugged me, right? And met me there and I walked her through. And I remember it very vividly, but then going through the white light, I don't have memory of it, but the dream wasn't over. I just, it's like blocked. So now I'm like, I want to get into hypnosis next. go deeper into the subconscious, but it's been this beautiful self-discovery with working with my inner child, working with my higher self, my guides, balancing the feminine and the masculine within myself and learning how to apply a lot of this in my daytime. That took years really of self-development, working out the kinks in my subconsciousness, pulling out patterns. And I was keeping a dream journal this whole time. So that was like one of the biggest things that was like an aha moment where I could really track everything, see it on a very large scale. And what even led me to Australia and where I'm at now was kind of like working with my masculine side, but also my creative writings and some of the dreams I was having, where I was like, I didn't realize it at the time, but now I look back and I'm like, okay, I was experiencing the future a couple of years prior before it had started. So now I've realized that dreams will even give you a taste of different pathways that we can choose, which is a good thing, you know, because sometimes they're good and you're like, oh, I definitely want to lead towards that. Sometimes they're negative and it gives you this idea of, okay, I don't want to experience that. So let's make some changes and go a different direction. And I've been able to kind of develop special abilities, I feel like, through my dream space as well. They've gotten very shamanic, really deep in spirituality for myself and embracing my soul. I find the internal dialogue just with our internal aspects as well to be very fascinating. And they're always there in support and help with the healing or the balancing acts. So like even as an example, my soul is constantly talking to my ego and it's encouraging and teaching me or my mind to release the reins of control and to live soulfully or to make choices based off the soul or to experience things from the soul and not from the mind, which is two different perspectives. And I, you know, and they're just finding that internal wisdom and guidance through all of this. It's absolutely amazing. And it's helped me develop my space with my clients as well as through my own self-development in it. So like, you know, now I'm able to have clients kind of sit down and connect to their internal guidance and ask, you know, what does it mean? What's the clarity in this dream? And how do we apply it or move forward? And it's, you always can tell the difference, like when the mind is answering something and when the soul is answering. And it's just when you get that wisdom from the soul, it is just absolutely jaw-dropping, beautiful. And
yeah.
So yeah, it's this whole, like, you know, it exploded all over my life. The dreams did in a beautiful way and life-changing.
Ah, I'm loving this. I'm just sitting here grinning my face off because I just love hearing about how dreams can be like beyond healing. Do you know what I mean? Like seeing someone who has been depressed and in depression and using dreams to be able to completely transform, heal, and then go beyond healing. It's like, that's the shit that lights me up.
Because
I've been there and I'm just like, yes. Like, you know, if someone has depression and then they take antidepressants or then they go and see a psychologist, like, yes, yes, it will make you feel better most of the time and hopefully like improve the situation that you're currently in. But I don't hear of people then thriving and completely transforming their lives, their perspectives, their realities, like everything about them. So it's just, this is like the power in dreams. And I'm always like, dreams are so powerful. It's like, how? Well, that's how. Like, you had severe depression and now look at you, like you're glowing, you're thriving, like it's incredible. And yeah, it's just, I'm buzzed about it. Cause yeah, that was my story as well. I was struggling really badly with mental health, really, really badly, like heavily medicated on mood stabilizers for over 10 years. And it just was really difficult. And when I connected to my dreams, the same thing, like it exploded everywhere all over my life in the messiest and most beautiful of ways and completely transformed me. And I'm not on any medication now. I don't have any mental health problems. Like, I'm very happy and have so much clarity. And I love how you're talking about knowing the difference and feeling the difference in communication with yourself and knowing whether it's like your mind or your ego or your soul and which one's speaking and how they can all communicate together and they can help each other as well. It's not saying that like one's bad and one's good and you should only listen to one and not the other or anything like that, but it's knowing which one's speaking and which one to let lead at the time. And like, that is a skill.
It's huge. It's you know, it's beautiful. I think if everyone really should be exploring their dreams. And sometimes, you know, for us as professionals, we have I have a hard time marketing it sometimes because it's like, oh my God, it does so much. It's a cure all a little bit. Like, I really find it to be a magical space as well. And but when I was going through the depression and it was really starting, my dreams were getting my attention. It was like this internal battle and it was a very serious conflict. And when I started diving deeper, I could actually get to the root of some of that and understand, you know, I'm not crazy. No, this isn't something medication is going to fix. This has to be something resolved internally within myself or it'll never stop.
Yes. It's a goosebumpy kind of an episode today.
I'm getting them too.
So let's rewind a little bit because you mentioned earlier and quite significantly about guides. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about your relationship with your guides. Like, how did you discover them? How do you communicate with them? Like, what's the go there?
Well, I've always grown up, I grew up Baptist, so we do believe that everyone has a guide, right? And as a kid, I took that very, like, very literally, and I would, like, interact with them constantly in my own kind of way as a child. But in my 20s, I really kind of was angry with religion, and I really wasn't spiritual. I wasn't religious. I was depressed, and I was disconnected from a lot of those aspects of just myself and a soul, even. Mm-hmm. So it was not until I had a couple experiences in my 20s that were like really negative, but I should have clung to my guides at that point and I didn't. And then I had this like, this past lover of mine had passed away, and 2 weeks after he died, I saw him like physically. I approached him and we had a conversation in the daytime. It wasn't even dreams. And it, like he looked real, like, you know, like I could touch him, but like, and I even asked him for a lighter, and he was like glowing gold. He really didn't talk at all. He just smiled and glowed and looked like an angel. And he was very much at peace with where he was in that space. And then he was just like gone. It was only for a few minutes, but at the time I still was trying to wrap my head around some of that, like there's no way that could be real, but it was, like, I know I experienced it. It was just, so I felt like, to me, that was like a gift for something, a gift before I was ready. It felt like a gift, like as a goodbye, but also to be able to see something that was unreal to kind of prepare me for the changes coming in the future. So with my guides, they were getting very active in my late 20s. I was getting, I realized going through depression and mental health was kind of causing this chaos in my mind where I couldn't see clearly, right? Even in the dreams, I always say your emotions kind of clog up the piping in the system, and it's good to have it under control so you can see even the spiritual stuff that's happening around you and to communicate with your guides or past loved ones. So like my grandmother was appearing a lot in my dreams, and I think she works as a guide very actively in my life. And then also, but my guides, we've got an interesting dynamic of a relationship. They have taught me, they have helped me, they've suggested things, and they've helped me develop special abilities. I have straight up ignored them. You know, as a kid, I used to write them little letters, as I was saying before, like little notes and stuff, and just being very mindfully aware. So I think I had to redevelop this relationship with them. And it was, you know, they were helping, they were giving me like little pieces of rewards in my sleep of encouragement or cheering me on. My higher self, I believe, also acts as a guide. So I've had a lot of experiences with my higher self too, as the guide. So I always say we have lots of guides, but some of my guides have, you know, taught me how to like three points of focus, and they've had me repeat it over and over again, so I wouldn't forget when I wake up, but I still forgot it. But I know it's somewhere in there in the file bin. And they've taught me how to use my third eye. Like for 3 months, I've had this experience where they put their hands over my eyes while I'm sleeping, and they're telling me I have to view through my third eye. To the point where after about 3 months, they stopped putting their hands on my eyes, and I felt like I was like sleeping, and I was like staring at the ceiling for like a long time. And I think it was just literally they were trying to open the third eye chakra, and I was already doing a lot of self-development at this point. There were times where I was going through bad toxic relationships. I was clinging on to a marriage that really wasn't aligning for me or my ex-husband. And I knew I was supposed to leave, and my dreams were kind of, you know, healing and preparing me for a lot of these adjustments, but I was still mindfully letting emotions keep me in this circumstances and trying to control how I was going to do it. So instead of letting my soul lead the decisions, I was mindfully tripping over myself, right? And so I ignored my guides for a while, because it was getting like difficult. I was like, they want me to jump, you know, and I was having tower dreams. I don't know if you're familiar with tarot, but the tarot card tower, I was pulling it during the day for like 2 years, and I was having tower dreams as well. And based off of what I was experiencing in the daytime. And so when I ignored my guides, they actually went to a mutual friend of mine. Like she didn't know what was going on with me emotionally or in my daytime. We just would discuss metaphysics or academics. Well, they went to her 3 nights in a row, and they're like, you have to give this message to Chelsea. And if you don't give her this message, we're going to keep coming until you give her the message. And she's like, I don't really know her that well, but I guess if you're not going to stop harassing me, I'll give her the message. She like messaged me the next morning. She's like, this is going to sound really crazy. And I was like, no, it does not sound crazy at all, actually, to me. And I was like, but it was very profound, even the message in itself, and how it wasn't just me experiencing my guides, but now there's someone else who was experiencing my guides. And it was my grandmother and my main guide, who is Plowdean. I don't know if you're familiar with the terms, but yeah, I have this guide that's an alien, basically. And he's very like 7 foot tall with long blonde hair and always like telling me what to do or trying to help me. And, so like, those are some experiences with them. And then I've also had, there's a space where I say, and I've described it in creative writing, but also in dream recollection, there is a space where I'm leaving my subconsciousness and going into the spirit realms. And it's this big white room. And I know a few other people who have experienced this within themselves too. And it's got like these large pillars, and it doesn't have a ceiling. It's just like this large room where I can go and kind of meet in the middle of myself and space, I suppose. And I've had my, these like twice I've had the experiences where I'm feel like I'm being evaluated, which I grew up Christian. So like, I know they say when you die, you get evaluated, and it kind of felt like that, but I wasn't dead. but I was going through some of the more bigger pivoting moments of life, and they were kind of like evaluating me and my soul mission and my purpose and where I am in progress with that. And like my guide was there beside me with a few other spiritually inclined friends, kind of like in support. And like my guide was literally like speaking on my behalf on, you know, like, this is where she's at, this is where the issue is, or where we're struggling to move forward. And it was just like very profound moments. And like I've had, even in that space, it's, you know, sometimes the pillars look like they're breaking or crumbling. And I realize that represents me on a very emotional level too. So it's, you know, I guess a symbolic, a very interesting symbolic space that I seem to keep going to in my dreams. But like, I've, at this point, it's just been very, like working with my guides has been very interesting. And like, I've even, since being in Australia, I'm in this location where it's dream time is the description of the town or whatever, the name of it. And like, I've even had like this indigenous shamanic character approach me and try to share a story about Australian indigenous culture. And, but he was speaking in his own language, but I kind of, what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And I think he was trying to mirror that back within myself a little bit, and to get me to follow him into the trees, which I think would be me choosing to follow this soul calling or so. Mm. I like shamanism a lot. So I was like, okay, you know, it was just, it's been very interesting how dreams are very supernatural, extremely spiritualistic. I feel like what is internal mirrors the external and vice versa. And above, below, there is this constantly this mirroring effect. And I do feel like I've always kind of had one foot above and one foot below. And I'm, my dreams are kind of helping me develop that more in a very interesting way. But it's very fulfilling and it's empowering. And it makes me really see reality and perspectives of reality in very unique ways.
Mm.
I would never go back to who I was before my dreams.
I feel you. Oh, my God. I feel like that dream that you just described of being in that like white place in between where they were sort of evaluating you, I've had a dream like that too. And as you were telling it, I was like, I think I've been to this place. So for me, it was like in the clouds, but there was like structures, and it was sort of like, had like a Roman Greek type feeling to the, and it was like sandstone kind of temple-y things, but yeah, no roof and clouds. And there was some stairs that went up another level. And for me, it felt like some kind of a ninja warrior type thing where it was like, yeah, judging your strengths and your weaknesses, and you had to, yeah, be evaluated to then be able to ascend up to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was there too. And
I've met several people tell me when I share this dream, and I've had it twice, and every time I share it, I've had three other people tell me they've had a very similar experience almost to the T. So I,
that's so cool. Okay, everyone listening, roll up, whoever's had this dream, send me a message.
It's
so cool. I could like collate them all and then see the similarities and the differences. And yeah, it was really cool. I'll have to go into my dream journal and find it as well and suss it out.
I've got it on my blog. That's one of my ones, because I do share a small amount of dreams on my website, and that is one, I call it the courtroom of light or something like that.
Yes.
But excellent. Yeah, it's interesting.
I'll put the link to your blog on that dream in the show notes. So if you're listening along, you can have a read of it. That's so cool. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is your dreams led you to Australia, and I'm wanting to hear more. I'm sure our listeners are eager to hear about this adventure. Can you share what happened? Like, how, why are you here? How did you get here? And how did your dreams communicate this to you?
So they weren't direct with go to Australia, like at all. And this took years.
They're never direct.
Yeah, no. And it took years of progression. to the space. But, and it probably wasn't until I got here when I realized, and I already knew they were kind of like the universe was pushing me in this direction. But when I got here and I had like this deja vu with the space and stuff, and I was like, I've been here, not just in dreams, but in my creative expressions too. And even with the relationship. So I'll start with as far back as I can go that I recalling. So it was, I was actually shared a piece on Facebook a couple hours ago. That was probably my first experience. And it was a creative writing, like very meditative. So when I do my writing, I feel like it's my soul expressing, and it feels very meditative still. And it was, I was constantly writing a couple pieces like this, where I was going between time and space to this man, but I didn't know who the man was. Like if it was God, if it was like my masculine side, I felt like it represented a lot of internal and external. So like I was writing about this space and picturing what it looked like and trying to describe it the best I could in the creative expressions. Then I had this dream where it felt like for a while I was thinking it was my masculine side, but it felt so vivid, real, that deep down I knew it was someone else. I just didn't know who, and it was someone I hadn't met yet. And he came into the dream and all I could see was like our faces, but his face was like fuzzy. I couldn't really see his face, just like his essence or his energy of his essence. And he said that my face will always change, but he will always recognize my eyes. And I think it was a reincarnated, like, you know, I will constantly be changing and evolving, but the souls will recognize each other type thing. And, you know, I was having a lot of dreams with my masculine side at the time too. So it got a little confusing. So I always say we got to tap in and what does it feel like? Because deep down, we do know the answer if it's us that we're experiencing or something outside of ourselves. And like, that was one that got me, that threw me off and made me very emotional, because I was like, who is that person? And I want to know. And I've had just very few experiences with that essence or that soul throughout a couple of years. But then I was writing about this space of being outside of time and space and this green nature, like lush nature space and all this stuff. And like kind of saying it's a place I prefer to be, and very poetic and kind of romantic at the same time. And then I continued on with the dreams, and, you know, I went through my divorce and a bunch of stuff. And I was probably, as of last September, the dreams started picking up more. And someone had told me that there was going to be this guy that comes into my life and he's like in the pipeline, and I can't really boycott it or self-sabotage it if I wanted to. Because at the time I was like, don't tell me, I will. And so it does kind of lead into this like romantic connection, but it connected the dots across the board on all of these different spaces of where my guides were kind of pushing me in a certain direction. I was doing shamanic healing at the time too with a friend of mine who's a practitioner, and she was working with me a lot on some of my own internal things as well as my dreams. But I started having these dreams every once in a while where I'd go deep in my subconsciousness. And it was like, like one of the dreams, I was in the ocean and I was kind of like, I was by myself. I was in the ocean, and like my soul is always represented as water a lot of the times in my dreams. And even in the shamanic sessions. And so I always associate the soul. So I think it was more like soul digging. I pulled up these stones, these beautiful natural stones I've never seen before. And I was like, oh, these are so exotic and different looking and beautiful. And I looked up and I realized that I recognized the man finally in my dream, because I knew who he was in real life now. I just had to connect the dot that it was him. And then the essence of him threw in all of this feeling of, I've met this person before in my dreams, but now it finally has a face. And so it was just a lot of this. So it was kind of this like romantic pull towards the person as well. But then when I got to Australia and I saw the land around me and stuff, I was like, this is the space. And like, I had not even thought of it until I got here. So it was kind of one of those things where it was like these aha moments and connecting, and it felt like little, like a breadcrumb trails almost. just like little baby steps. And it's like the universe kept pushing me. And it was like, don't get too comfortable, Chelsea, where you're at, because we're going to keep transitioning you through. And it was this whole thing of just trusting the process, not worrying about the outcome, because my ascending is Virgo. So I love to have like my 5-year plan and be completely yeah. organized and be like, I know exactly what I'm getting into. And so it's really, it was like challenging me to just have faith, trust the process, and know that wherever I'm being led right now is where I'm supposed to be. And then when I got here, I was having a lot of dreams kind of reconfirming a lot of this. And like my dreams were suggesting that I get either a student visa or a work visa to build roots in Australia, even in various ways, especially with work. That's when I came across Robert Moss, even in his work. And then I realized he's from Australia and yeah. he's into this indigenous culture too. And so it really just like all of this stuff kept coming out where it was like, then I realized the wine I was drinking was Australian wine and the hand soap I was using was like the synchronicity with all of it too. It was just like, it was just funny because I've never had this desire to be like, oh, I'm going to go to Australia someday. Like that, it really was not something I ever considered or had on my like bucket list. So it was just the way it slowly developed, and how when you're experiencing stuff like that in your dreams, I'm also experiencing it in my creative writing, I'm experiencing it in the synchronicity of my daytime, and how everything is like I always say the universe is like this mechanic clock. Everything around it is moving and ticking and going into a pattern of certain direction. And when we fight against it, that's where I think we see a lot of our issues, but in the conflict within ourselves. So I was really trying hard not to go against whatever was meant for me. But it was a very long process. It probably went on for several years with me having to deal with my current situations, my emotions, developing a lot in myself before I could align with something physically. So that's kind of my story on it. And I realized everyone might have a little different perspective on that. But like for me, it really sat in my soul as like, this is where I'm supposed to go. And even before I got here, my soul was like prepping me and my mind with yeah. conversation and how to perceive things. And it's been quite the journey.
What a journey. I love that. So it's really cool that your dreams were preparing you for the future in showing you these environments and things like that. And I love it when you are then there and you get that deja vu like that. It's even bigger than a deja vu because it's like the penny drops. It's like this whole thing washes over you like, whoa, this moment where you had that realization that you knew that guy from before and all of it's just like crazy. I love it. That's so yeah. cool. So in that dream that you had where you were in the ocean and then you were pulling those jewels out, what significance does that have to you?
I've had this experience a few times in dreams. And so one of the first ones is when I first started doing dream analysis on myself and kind of going through my spiritual awakening. I was in my dream talking to somebody and I looked down at my hand and it had a slit or a slither of skin that was open and there was something blue and shiny. And so I kept looking at it and I pulled it out of my hand and it was a little blue rock, like a crystal or a stone. And I felt like it was something that's beneath the surface that is beautiful or holds value. And it kind of represented to me at the time, diving into the subconsciousness and finding reward with that. And so when I was digging through the ocean, I was already had gone through a lot of like the shamanic healing work with one of my friends. I was really getting into the soul stuff. So I knew that in the dream I was experiencing my soul and I was digging. And I felt like when I pulled up these rare rocks, it was the potential of finding something really unique within myself that I had never seen before. And that it was like this, reward back for me, or this untapped potential, right? All the good stuff, like when we dive into these spaces with ourselves. So I felt it was this connection of, okay, you're going to find things that are you, that you've never seen or experienced before, and it's going to be absolutely beautiful. And, you know, and then bringing it to light and pulling it out. But then I was also, because, you know, I always say I'm digging or dissecting, I'm digging through my subconsciousness, right? You never know what you're going to pull up. And it was just interesting at the same time that he was there, and it felt like he was actually there, like he had dream walked into my dream, which I did ask him about in the daytime if he did it. And he's like, well, I do astral project. And like, I was like, so you did do it with intention. Like, I was like, interesting. All right. But it's, you know, it just how it all kind of goes together. So the stones are really important. Which is ironic because I do have the jewelry line too, the natural stone collection by Fish London. And I feel like there's a lot of synchronicity in that because, you know, at the time when I started working with the natural stones, I was doing it just for market value. I wasn't super spiritual at the time, but the jewelry is why I started getting into self-development because I realized that I wanted to start a business like this and I wanted to flip a brand. And I wanted to find success in this, but I felt like I was going through depression. I had all these things going on in my side of me that I could have these big ideas, but to have it actually find success with it all based on my own self-development. And I was not the person I needed to be able to do a project like this. So it kind of was one of those things that really added this internal battle within myself, right? I knew I wasn't good enough for what I wanted to be doing. And that I had to do something to grow and change to be this person. And I do remember experiencing my higher self throughout life and being like, I need to be like her. I need to be able to embody that. That's what I need. So in a sense, I do find it interesting that it's always the stones because the jewelry line and getting the rights to it was one of those things that kind of 180'd or pivot where I was like, I have to do something different. And the fact that my subconsciousness uses stones in my dream, I'm kind of wondering, okay, it never uses symbolism unintentionally. There's always a very specific intention with our subconsciousness. It's very brilliant. And half the time our conscious parts just have to catch up with it because like, so now I'm thinking about it too. I was like, no, I do think that it kind of does a 180 with all of that, where it was using it as a symbol. This is something that made me really realize that I need to be someone different because I was already a mother and I was going through postpartum and stuff too. But I think it was not just wanting to be a successful mother, but wanting to be a success in the things that I love and desire to also experience as a woman as well. It all came full circle a lot. And now, so, you know, and I'm very passionate about the jewelry line as well. And I've got the goddess energy infusion with it, which is really, you know, I'm always talking about masculine and feminine and like dualities of life. I think they're the two main energies of the universe. And so it's something that I feel like is a very empowering for the feminine essence. And like, what does that look like when we look at different cultures of goddesses? They all have this embodiment of something specific, if it be the warrior, if it be the unconditional love or the compassion, the truth, the higher consciousness, or the heavens of the stars, right? When you look at them all together, that is what women are at our true essence. We are the magic. We are all of these beautiful things. And so while I'm still developing the jewelry, I'm realizing that it's only as accessible as my self-development, even on these levels. And I have to embody it within myself to be able to bring it to surface or to light for other people too. And, yeah, it's just been absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I don't think anything is coincidental. I think the subconsciousness is literally connected to the source that is much bigger than us. And I think we are all one consciousness experiencing itself through different bodies or physical forms. And I think I'm right where I needed to be the whole time, even when it felt messy or lost. And, you know, everything has come full circle with the dreams, my jewelry, my family, my love life, everything that I was having issues with. When I started working on my dreams, everything started coming into place perfectly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
Just like how it trickles into every aspect of your life. And it's absolutely beautiful. And now I feel like, you know, I've had soul purpose. I'm not afraid to ever experience depression again. That's never going to happen. Like, yes, I'll experience emotions or sadness, but like, I'm so confident in myself and my inner wisdom, this guidance, how everything is working for me, not against me. And if I really just release into that, like we do become this magical being just through it all. It's amazing. Yes,
you can have the dream life. I've been saying this to people, and I don't know if people think I'm bullshitting or not, but I'm like, Dreaming solves everything. Like, my life has elevated in so many ways. And it's hard, like you said, to say how, because there's so many different layers, like, you know, personal relationship with yourself, but also there's so many practical things that they help with. Like I was saying, giving me like a to-do list of the things that I will have forgotten about, like getting my car serviced and like basic things. But then, yeah, so transformative on so many levels. And I'm so excited that you're here, like spreading this message alongside me. And that's something that I find really cool about dream work too, is that it's not competition. Like when I met you, even though we do the exact same thing for people, it wasn't like, this girl's my competition, I'm against her. I was like, yes, hallelujah.
Now
I have a friend. And dream work is like that. Like we all have like a mission to collectively help everyone. It's not like, I don't know, I was in the fitness business for a while and it's like, personal trainers just don't want to work together. Do you know what I mean? And I'm why?
I love other dreamers professionally, or even just people who do it as a hobby or just something that they're curious about. There is something truly spiritual and unique with this space, and everyone has a little different with how they do it. So I say there's no right or wrong way.
Yeah.
So for me, it really gets my curiosity going, and I just like, I love this. Like if we call it industry, whatever, I love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we all do kind of feel soul calling. We don't just get into dreams because like, I want to be an accountant, you know, like, you know, like, no, this is something that personally draws us in. I think a majority of us have a personal story or experience that leads us into the work. I think it's very, soul purpose related. Especially when we're kind of like in the Carl Jung lane versus maybe the Freudian. it's very unique and I love it. And, I hope to go to Netherlands next year. I know you're going this year. And I was like, okay, I can't go this year, but my goal, and I've been saying this for months, is to go next year.
Yes.
And I've been networking and connecting with as many people in that association as possible. Just, I was like, I want to be in the family of it.
Amazing.
I think it's beautiful.
It is. I'm so excited to have you with us next year. You'll be there and I'll be interviewing you live. It'll be great.
Oh, it'll be so fun.
Probably dream about how we're going to get there tonight.
Right. We're like, okay, let's get this going. We're
going to planning. In your book, Living Life Metaphorically, like you dive deep into these topics. Like, how would you like to explain your book?
Okay, so the book is more like creative expressions or writings. They're very short. I call it a coffee table book because you can pick it up at any point and just read. And it's like an adult picture book too, because I have photos with each piece to pull the symbolism or the emotional reaction to it. But really what the book is, it's soul tapping and exploring the subconsciousness. I feel honestly, it truly is a dialogue between the conscious parts of myself and the subconscious parts. My consciousness will start writing with like this seeking or looking for an answer. And then my subconsciousness or my soul will respond back. And I love existing outside of time and space and being, you know, this really big imagination. I love out of body experiences in dreams and in meditation. So there's a lot of this kind of going on in my space of creative writing, exploring parts of reality, and mental health. So there's, you know, like me trying to understand psychology, trying to understand, you know, the difference between good and bad, and exploring the ecosystem of the, you know, the nature, networking systems as above, so below. So it's really just me consciously exploring the reality in all the different ways, but in getting a response back from my subconscious parts in the healing lanes or my soul with some of the bigger stuff. And I do tie the dreams in there because I feel it's important and it kind of creates this curiosity for dreams, but I don't analyze them at all in this space because I want the reader to pull out their own connection to the symbolism, not mine. And I think it flows really nice with it. So it kind of gets them exploring symbolism and understanding symbolism in a very easy way without overthinking it. But when you're reading it as this whole, you're like, okay, I I do understand that. I don't know how I understand that, but I do understand that. And it's really just a very deep shadow work, but I feel like I hide the shadow, like I kind of hide behind the creative expression of it. So I'm not like over here, like, oh, when I was a child, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, if I talk about the inner child or how she feels, then it'll be this emotional release of something. And I love the internal family system. I don't know if you're familiar with that, by Richard Schwartz. So I even psychoanalyze myself into different parts and I give them a voice to express in a creative way. So like I will have my masculine's representation in there, my higher self, my soul, my ego, my emotions and anger or sadness, depression. My first book, I romanticized the depression while I was going through that phases, and it kind of helped me just release some of those emotions and understand it. It's one of those things where when I reread through my own works, I'm like, oh my gosh, I still learn from it and experience that. So I think I really want to inspire people to do that within themselves when they're reading it.
Mm.
And when I started writing this series, I was only doing it for myself as like kind of like a digital journal a tad bit. And I wasn't, like I used to write when I was a kid poetry, like traditional poetry and stuff, but I wasn't. So when I started writing again, it really released out in a very unique way. And I think the way I write is very different. And I think it's because it comes from my soul, and the soul kind of has its own way of expression. It's not something you logically or consciously try to produce or fake. So it really is like I'm teaching myself through a lot of this, and it kind of, I think at first I thought maybe it was like a download, but I realized it's not a download. It is my soul wisdom pushing out, you know, in these small doses. And
almost
I probably
upload.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and like halfway through the first book, I realized it was a book and I was like, oh, right, you know, and then, so like, again, that's like my subconsciousness knew what it was doing. And my consciousness just, it took it a minute to catch up. Like,
that's so amazing. You know, when I work with people and they tell me their dream, majority of people think that their dreams are so weird compared to other people's. Like, and it's really not. It's just something normal. Like, well, normal for a dream.
The weird is normal.
Yeah, but weird is so normal. People are like embarrassed to tell me, oh, their dream, you're going to think I'm crazy. I'm like, no. Like, that's so normal. But for them to read your book would be incredible to gain the perspective of the inside of somebody else's mind and somebody else's subconscious and what they're going through. It's great. The dialogue between your conscious and your subconscious is very interesting. Like, do you just be in one mindset? Like, I know that if I was to sit down at the computer and start trying to write, I'd be in like my conscious mind. And then do you sort of just try to like close down or gently slip into the other state? Or do you sort of have a question and then come back to it later? Like, what's your process going between the two?
Each book has taken a year to write because I don't force it. I don't sit down and go, okay, I'm going to write now. Like it is something that gets triggered or sparked internally. And then I'm like, I need to get this out. So I usually have my iPad close by and I'll be like, okay. And I just like spit it out on paper and I don't go through. I don't overthink it. I don't correct it. I let it loose. It's like it was already existing inside of me and it just needed the piece of paper. So like I don't sit down and intentionally try to write. I don't go, oh, what do I want to write about today? It's very different. And like each book is a different phase. So the first one's a journey to waking up. The second, which I felt like was like more like the root chakra to the solar plexus. And then, you know, like they progress into like higher consciousness, I feel too, which I know is this kind of spiritualistic term, but I love spirituality. So then the second one's a journey to within, which is like the heart chakra through the throat chakra. You know, finding self-love and unconditional love was the theme of that one. Then the third one is a journey to other realms, which is a lot more dreams and meditation, using the third eye to the crown chakra, and really embracing some of the bigger concepts. So like, I felt like the first book's really great, but when I look back on it now, I'm like, it's a slightly immature in the sense that I was just starting out with a lot of these explorations. By the time you get to the third book, it is really just the wisdom that pours out, the embodying the soul in different ways and really just pulling out and having confidence in that. it's called soul tapping. Like I'm really just, because at first I was experiencing my soul in small doses, right?
Yeah.
And I was, you know, and I felt like it was a third party or something. And even though it was me, I was treating it like a disconnected part of myself. Yeah. So by the time I'm gotten through my third book, it really is just a full on, full embodiment of who I am. And I thought I was going to be done after the third, but now I'm just going to, I started my fourth one, which is Journey into the Wild, which is now instead of soul tapping into my own soul and embodying my soul, now I'm looking at the external. So like in shamanism, everything has a soul, you know, like the soul of a seashell. And sorry, I got a seashell here. And, you know, like I can and get the lessons and tap in and what does the seashell have to teach me, right? So I love nature a lot and it's a very spiritual connection for me. And I've used it through all of my phases of writing and just learning, trying to find answers of the universe, like what is evil and why does it exist? It's a man-made concept because in nature, evil doesn't exist, right? And I realize a lot of people could argue that in a lot of different ways. And I'm not going to take it too like literal all the time, but with nature has been by my side this whole time, kind of teaching me too. And so the idea of the fourth book is for me to sit down, go into meditation and tap into the ants. What do the ants have to teach me? Tap into the water. What does the water have to teach me? Tap into the birds. What do the birds have to teach me? And to express that and creatively. And I love doing that. And that was something I learned through my shamanic friends. And I'm like, okay, I think I was doing that a little bit before, but now I to really embrace it and to tap into this external consciousness around us in the networking systems. So after that, I have no idea where it'll lead. It'll probably just keep evolving along with me.
Yeah. Into the cosmos. Off you go.
Yeah.
I think the progression of that journey is going to be perfect at the time for the reader. Like now that you're sitting back and you're looking at it, you're like, oh, at the beginning, you know, I was only doing this. But it's like, well, the person who's at that stage in their life picking that up right now, that will be perfect for them because the third book stage would be too much and overwhelming. And do you know what I mean? Like they'll have to progress with you as you progressed.
Yeah. It's an honest progression. So, yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. Because I was like, you know, people can reflect back on their awakening, but the fact that I was actually expressing through it, you know, like if those files would have ever been deleted, I could not go back and recreate that, you know, like no. It was very organic and true to those moments. And I think that's important because, you know, I do think the world is kind of gaining more awareness spiritually and consciously. And I think a lot of people are waking up in those areas or so like, you know, something like this. Yeah, it is important and it will probably find the right readers and I hope they'll grow with it too, as you were
definitely
saying.
It's very important and it's very brave of you and admirable for sharing through those moments. And you know, there are enough makeup tutorials out there teaching us how to do stuff like that, but there's not enough sort of subconscious spiritual awakening tutorials. So you know, you're creating something really huge for the world and you should be really proud. I think it's absolutely awesome. I wish that I had thought of doing like journaling more through the things that I went through. You know, I was journaling a lot at the beginning of like mental health problems. You know, you're always told like write down your feelings and blah blah blah. And then there was a point where I just like wouldn't want to journal because I was like, this book is so negative, you know, everything I was writing was bad. So then I just would stop for years because I was just like, I don't want to journal, like it's yuck. And I didn't want to pick up the book. And then I sort of began journaling again when I got into dreams and there's like a whole chunk of stuff that was missed. And then even when I got into dreams, I was only journaling the dreams, but not the daily things.
You combine it and see my clients, I get them to bring in the day. And too, I was like, no, do your meditations. What are you going through? What are you feeling? Pull it in, like treat like a diary, very detailed with your dreams too.
Yeah. And even like throughout the day, if you have like a download or an idea or something come to you or a trigger or a spark or something that happens, quickly just grab your note and write that down as well. Because
it's still the subconsciousness and that's what we're really exploring. The dreams are just entering as a good entrance point into that space. So, and it's funny because when I was a kid, I remember telling someone, randomly an older student, be like, I want to publish a book someday. I'm going to publish my journals, my diary. You know, it's that. So funny now that I basically have done that.
Yeah. And in your 20s, when you're looking back at that, you would have been like, there's no way I would do that. And now you're like, oh, I did that.
I totally did that. And like, it was not really that intentional at the time. So I was laughing. I'm like, it's interesting how the subconsciousness just pulls things together a full circle. That's why I'm always saying the subconsciousness is running the show. We're just consciously trying to keep up with it, if we're aware of it or not.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to hear one dream from you that you'd want to share, something that stands out to you. Like what was like one of your biggest dreams that you would be happy to share, something that was like impactful or moving for you?
Okay. Well, I've shared a lot of really good ones. So this is one from my early 20s, and it's a little bit dark, but it really had me for years, and it probably took me like a decade to really wrap my head around it, or to at least come to terms with what I originally thought it was. And it's actually my first book. I think it's the first dream I share because it was one of the older ones. So I do try to share them in the progression that they were dreamt. And so it was an out-of-body experience, and I came in on this scene where it was like very dark and creepy and eerie. And there were like these gray aliens wearing these robes, and they were in a circle, and it looked like a very cult-like. And so they were like in red robes, and then the other half of the circle, they had like people or humans in black robes, and the people were scared. And I kind of came in from above the scene. I dropped into it on the human side, and you couldn't really see anyone's faces. They had the hoods over their faces, but like I could hear, it was like very telepathic. Like I could hear the thoughts of the people next to me and how scared they were. And as soon as I thought to myself, I like looked around and I went, I know what's going on here. And as soon as I thought it, one of like the gray aliens right across from me looked right at me very sharply with like this, a lot of evil, like this essence of evil. And, then all of a sudden they started pushing people into this portal that was in the middle of the circle, and it was supposed to control their reality or their perception of their reality. And it was this way, and like everyone was scared. They were taking their free will. They were controlling their perception of reality. And I remember feeling very anxious in this fight or flight. And I like flew up out of the scene almost immediately. And it was one of those ones where like you wake up and you're kind of hyperventilating and you're like, what the crap was that, you know? And it took me a really long time because I always like to say that there's a mirror. So I was like, what did it mirror? Something internal for myself? Or was it truly just an out-of-body experience? But I do feel that a lot of the times when we're going through negative emotions, that we are experiencing the lower realms. So I think I was out-of-body, and I landed into a really ugly space. But sometimes I wonder, what's the point of always seeing something like that? And what would someone even do with that? And that was stuff that I always would think about a lot. So it was a very negative experience, but I think for me, it kind of was preparing me for like a soul purpose or a soul journey later in life for where I'm at now. Now I realize, you know, I think we experience the good and the bad sometimes because in a way we might not know what to do with it right at that moment, but later in life, we will be able to figure out what to do. I think for me, it was just proof that there is something weird going on. And I've had even my clients in the last year who've had dreams where like beings of higher consciousness have appeared to them and told them history of planet Earth and like Orion belt wars. And like, I mean, it's like Star Wars. And my clients, some of them have like never even put this information in their mind. So it just organically came out, and they were like, is there something going on here? Like, this is really weird. And I don't want to feed into it. And like, I need it to be organically from them. So I'm really like not over here like, yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
and then they never show up to dream analysis sessions. But it does show, you know, like some form of manipulation on reality. And there is something bigger than us going on. And I think in a sense, that's why a lot of us are experiencing or are reincarnated or on this planet. And it is just interesting because it wasn't just one client that had that experience. It was three of them. And all three of them had a different puzzle piece to the story that completed the story. And they didn't know it. And I was sitting there. I was the one getting all the puzzle pieces. And it matched my story with that. So it was just, at that point, you know, it's really interesting how consciousness works and how there's a lot going on. And, you know, we could really get in some deep conversations on just things like that. But that was something that really stood with me for a long time. And I still find it to be very valuable or important now. And I try not to let my logical side trip over the details because that's too easy to do.
Wow. Okay. That dream sounds crazy. It sounded pretty cool. You sounded pretty freaked out by it though. So
at the time,
it would have made a good movie scene, but not something to be experiencing. When you say that you feel like there's something bigger going on around sort of controlling our realities or something going on there, what do you mean?
I think the universe is very active and there's a lot going on. And I think networking systems are all the same. So whatever we're experiencing here in our networking system as humans, you know, we're also got the networking system of nature and we've got the networking system of outer space or the micro and the macro. And I do love concepts like this. So like, according to some of the stuff that has come through is I do think there is a conflict that seems to be interfering with a lot of space. See, this is why the paranormal channel is like talking to me sometimes. Because there's like, okay, I think there's something that is trying to control humanity a little bit. If it be other humans, that, yeah, we know that. But I think there's something bigger than us that is trying to help assist us as like guides. But I also think there's something that's really negative that's trying to keep us kind of locked in a little bit and limited as a whole planet and race. And, you know, like even in some of my evaluations and seeing some of my clients go through stuff with their guides, they're saying like they've sent certain souls or down here to help reincarnate and to improve some of these issues. And I think when we see some of this in the dreams and we dive into it, it does, I always say dreams are tiny puzzle pieces that create a very large picture. Mm. Now we're only looking at our own individual dreams, but when you start looking at the mass collective's dreams, it's really wild. And I think there's a lot of value in that because I think we're all tiny puzzle pieces and we're all creating one very large story of what's going on our planet or as a human race, good and bad. So in that sense, I think dreams are really important. And I think the truth does lie in that. And when you look at mythology and primitive man and some of the earlier ideas, right? We are looking internally and we're like looking at the stars and the universe. And I think that in a sense, our souls or our subconsciousness and this mass collective memory bank is trying to get our attention. And so I know Carl Jung talks about like, we've got our individual conscious consciousness, and then we have our collective unconscious. And I think that would be like how, like even in like shamanism, they call it Akashic records even and things like that. There's anything that's ever been experienced, I think is stored. And I think there's a lot going on with that. That's where it gets a little woo-woo or spiritualistic. And I dive right into that stuff at this point, and I really try to observe and see. So I think the way we perceive reality is very important. And I think when people are very limited in that, it's not a good thing. And I kind of see that even in myself when my soul is talking to my ego. It's, you know, I would say we're living in an ego system and our egos are just trying to keep up with the rules.
Mm-hmm. So who created the rules for the ego? The same field of energy that is that negative field. It's like the magnet thing that's gravity holding us down.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And that's why I like the internal family system, because he can talk about it as a networking system of the micro and macro. We have it internally within ourselves, but we also have it externally. That's why I say it's the ego system, because the ego is what exiles things into the subconsciousness, right? It will try to manage the entire system, how we believe, how we perceive and view, what we allow to be seen, not just by ourselves, but the people around us. It's kind of like the boss or the manager or the police, you know. You often even see that the ego can symbolically be seen as like the police officers that are chasing you in your dreams sometimes. I mean, that can mean a lot of things, but in a sense, the ego is always a part of that system. And I was like, and we definitely live in an ego world or a networking system that's controlled by the ego and managed by it. And I think if we all started living more soulfully, it would be very different.
Definitely. Where do I even go from there?
I know, I was like, that could get very interesting in
That
conversation.
was so good.
Yeah, want to pay
Wow.
attention to your dreams and start accessing your
Yeah.
soul. If we can get anything from that's important.
Please do. Oh my God. Yes. I don't know how to respond besides you're onto something and everyone should listen to
We've
you.
talked, yeah, I get on other podcast channels where they like to talk about how consciousness works, or in it gets, it's a very almost like sci-fi. That's why I'm like, oh, you could be like Doctor Strange, basically. There's a lot going on, but I love topics of consciousness and how I think we're all just one large connected piece of consciousness, really.
Yeah, I agree too. Let's say that the person who's listening to this podcast right now, that's you if you're listening. If you're feeling like you're loving the things that Chelsea's talking about and the journey and the transformation that she and I have both been through, going from like mental health issues, figuring out and navigating through motherhood, having soul loss, trauma, to wanting to transform that and become your whole full self, incorporating your soul and living authentically in alignment. If you want life to just turn out the way you want it to, and for things to fall in your lap, and you want to figure out how to use this magic of dreams to create your dream life, then get in contact with Chelsea. And I'm going to put her links in the show notes below. But Chelsea, let's say that I was a customer or a client of yours, and I'm feeling pretty shitty and I'm having some nightmares, and I contact you. What's your process? Like, how do you work with me? What can you do for me?
Okay, so I always like to try to see what people's intentions are with their dreams. Like, are they willing to change? Are they just trying to have a quick fix? Because we always know that dreams do take time. So I do like to have people work with me from 6 months to a year, just because it really does evolve a lot. You know, the subconsciousness tends to choose the topics that we discuss. So I really let it be to have the platform in those spaces. Everyone has to keep a Google document with their dream journal on there so that I can access it off hours. I like to comment, highlight patterns and things like that, and really help it be organized so they can visually see it too. We do the journaling, we track patterns. I use the internal family system to track the internal parts and the messages or patterns from that, as well as the symbolism. Which I get, I totally nerd out on that. And so that's a lot of gibberish to a lot of people. But when you start ex seeing and experiencing it, you really start to view yourself in different ways. So we cycle analyzing it. Each part has a problem and a solution. So we really try to keep an eye out for things like that. And then how do we apply it in your daytime? Sometimes the subconsciousness will ask something very big from us, which is makes it emotionally difficult to make a 180 change. So then we'll start taking baby steps to let's just like ease into it, you know, as if it's just one little thing that we can start applying slowly and building into that. I've noticed that it takes a couple months just to get to that space though. Because a lot of the times we will get information from like your inner child or something from childhood. We'll get something on your masculine side that, you know, you experience through love. And then we'll see it through your family dynamics, and we'll see it through yourself and your relationship with yourself. Your dreams tend to show you in the problem and then where it exists in your life. So you'll see it like in all these different ways, and then it'll show you where the root of it is and how it started. So it does feel like a scavenger hunt a little bit, but it's really, I think it's comforting when we start giving ourselves that space. So I will have people like kind of tap into like a small meditative space when we're going through the dream. So like each dream I say is a small puzzle piece, correct, that creates a large image. So we're not going to just sit here and hyper-focus on one dream. We'll go on a cluster of dreams. And I always ask that clients reread it all. Like even if it's 19 pages worth of dreams, let's keep familiarizing ourselves and going back and reading through it, because you're always going to find more from it. Sorry, now my brain's like going in. I love it. So when we go into meditative space, I have you guys create internal dialogue with yourself. So if it be with dream characters, asking your soul what the meaning of maybe something is, or tapping in with like, you know, if you're experiencing something consciously outside of yourself, like say if it's a past loved one, I say let's create a dialogue even between that. And I know it's can get a little odd for some people, but honestly, the results of just that alone have been really amazing. Watching people kind of tap in and not relying on me to be like, hey, this is what your symbolism means, but going into yourself for a second, what is the answer? What does the cat in the box mean, as an example, right? Mm. And for one client, it was her boxing up her heart, but her soul was able to answer that. And I always say, you know, we have to consciously kind of release the conscious parts of ourselves and not overthink with logic. Whatever comes to mind first is the right answer. And then we lean off of that. And I update all of this in their documents so that when they're looking through their dream journal, now they have all the question and answers and the dialogue that they're creating, even in the space with sessions. And I highly encourage them to do that even during the week while they're dream journaling and not have to just wait for me. They can have this dialogue within themselves whenever they want. And I think that creates the inner guidance. It helps with the healing, reconnecting to disconnected parts of ourselves, and really learning just so much. But I think really it creates better health, more clarity, confidence, guidance, how you actually manage yourself. I think when people are struggling with like nightmares or severe emotions or something that's making them depressed, even we are lacking confidence. We're looking externally for answers when it's all within us. And that in itself is a very big self-discovery. And so it's never something you show up to one session and expect it to be fixed right away. There is no magic potion or spell. It is, you know, doing the work truly, but it's quite the journey, and everyone's been different. A lot of clients come to me for various reasons, but they all kind of are unique and have some similar results. In the sense where your dreams are leading you, they all lead you back to you.
Wow. I love how thoroughly you dissect everything and like guide them through the whole transformation. That's really cool. And they have to do the work, but then they've got you there helping them to understand it and guide them and prompt them and support them and encourage them and motivate them and everything. So it sounds like you give a really, really good experience for your clients, and you have a wealth of knowledge. So you would make an amazing mentor. I think anyone would be lucky to have you as a coach.
Thank you. Yeah. The idea is not to need me after a while and do it yourself.
Yeah.
It's a very valuable life skill. Like this is something when you learn how to use your dreams, you will use it for the rest of your life, and you'll just become more creative with how to use it as a tool. It is the most diversified tool we could possibly have.
Hmm. Amazing. So you were nerding out about symbology and symbols, and I love that too. Would you share with us, like, do you have a symbol that shows up in your dreams and then you know what that meaning is? Do you have any that in your sort of personal library for dream interpretation of what your dream symbols mean? Is there anything that you'd be happy to share?
Yeah. Okay. So as a few examples, I love snakes. They're very spiritualistic for me. Not that I love them physically. I'm actually afraid of snakes, but I love it symbolically. So when I experience a snake, it means I'm transforming or having something transformation in my life. Water tends to represent how I'm experiencing life, if it be rough or calm, but it also represents my soul depending on the context of how it's being used. So I usually can recognize it right away. And something that's cute and fun that I don't experience so much anymore, but for years and years and years, I kept experiencing this boy crush I had when I was a child. And he always rejected me. So, and I always would laugh. I'm not going to say his name, but I'd be like, oh, I'm having so-and-so dreams again. And oh, why am I having these dreams? For like 15 years, these dreams would drive me nuts. And I'm like, why am I having these dreams? And then once I got into it with myself, I realized that I was anything I was experiencing rejection, this boy would appear in my dreams. So it would have nothing to even do with him. It could just represent rejection in itself. And like, he would show up in my dreams and I experience rejection in my dreams too. Yeah. And it was kind of cute now that you look at it. But also a beautiful story with that was there was a time in my life where I was resolving a lot of these internal issues. And I had this dream with him that felt very lucid, like I was connected to his soul, but also the image of rejection in myself. And I finally resolved that by hugging in the dream, holding hands and walking like into some light or whatever. But it was this idea that I had reconciled the feeling within myself. And I really haven't had him show up symbolically in my dreams since then. So I think it was something that emotionally I probably was struggling with directly with him, but also how it was affecting me and not just romantic parts of my life, but also like the dynamics of relationships and even work and parts of my career and stuff.
Yeah. Rejection can show up in a lot of places, not just like in romance. So, wow, that's so cool. Thanks.
Yeah, I told him about it once and he was like, like, I'm just saying that's how the brain works.
You know what? I was wondering the other day, I wonder if I show up in other people's dreams as a symbol for anything, you know, like, am I haunting my exes? If you're listening, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. It's interesting to talk about. We need closure sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Symbolism. I love it. I always say ditch the dream dictionaries. We don't need them. And that's just going off of the Mass Collective. So, I mean, it's very different when you're working with your own symbolism. It might help with stirring the pot for ideas, maybe, but we each have our own emotional connection to symbolism, and that's why it's beautiful. And something I've noticed even doing shamanic work in like healing sessions with my friends is that the subconsciousness speaks in symbolism. The soul also does too. And that's why we experience it in metaphysical experiences. A lot of times it's being presented to us in a symbolic way. And very interesting. Well, I do have a newsletter or my emailer. Oh, yeah, so if anyone wanted to subscribe, it's on my website. And I do try to do tips and tricks, share stories, you know, just really developing the self-application of dream analysis even.
Chelsea, I've absolutely loved talking to you on the podcast today. I feel like we'll definitely need to do a few follow-up episodes because there's so many things that we could have gone into in more detail that I'd love to talk to you about in the future. And I'm sure that the listeners would like to hear more about too. As we wrap up this heart to heart, what's one little bit of wisdom or encouragement that you'd like to sprinkle on our listeners who are on their own journeys, unraveling the mysteries of the subconscious?
Trust the process, stay committed to it. You might have this idea of what an outcome might be, but it's always a million times better. It's absolutely beautiful.
That's so true. That's such good advice in trusting the process, because sometimes things can seem like bigger or scarier or more overwhelming and you just don't even want to go there. But once you do, it's so worth it, like the beauty that comes on the other side. What an incredible conversation. Thank you, Chelsea, for sharing your insights, your journey and your passion for dreams and using them to help you excel through life. Thanks for coming, Chelsea.
I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
To all our listeners, remember that your dreams and your unique path can lead you to become who you came here to be. Until next time, keep dreaming big.